Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I'm going to bring a message this morning that I've entitled The Most Powerful Part of Your Body. It has to do with your tongue. The most powerful part of your body. Notice James chapter 3 verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters. By the way, the idea there is like a schoolmaster or a teacher. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What a powerful chapter. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity that is mine to deliver the message in the service today. Guide my thoughts and words, please, and help me to say what you would want me to say. I pray that all of us would have open ears and receptive hearts to take to heart what's being spoken of here in this chapter. I ask, Lord, that you will minister to us, each one of us, that which we need today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The most powerful part of your body. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way or not, but I think this is true. I believe this to be a true statement. One of the ways to tell a mature Christian is by his speech or his words. Many times we focus on people's actions, and actions are important. But a person's words, a person's speech, the things that come out of your mouth from your tongue can either be helpful or hurtful, can either advance the cause of Christ or detract from it, can either be used as a tool for building or a weapon for destroying. The mature Christian, I believe, not by himself, but with God's help, the mature Christian has power over his tongue. God gives that person the ability through the Holy Spirit to control his tongue and to use it wisely, properly. As we read through this chapter, you probably saw that there were three different pairs of pictures that God used to illustrate the power that our tongue has. You'll see in verses 2, 3, and 4, the tongue has the power to direct. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, the tongue has the power to destroy. Verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, the tongue has the power to delight. So these are the points that we're going to go over today. The very first one is the tongue has the power to direct, and that's verses 2, 3, and 4. I'll read through this again if you'll follow along with me. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. Here we go. For in many things we offend all. James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Perfect meaning mature, grown, spiritually grown up. The same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So here's two illustrations, one being the horse's bit, or the bit in the horse's mouth, and then the helm or rudder of a ship. Both of these, the bit and the rudder, if you think about it, you'll know this is true, both the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder of a ship are very small in comparison to the object that they steer. Another thought comes to mind, and that is that both the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder of a ship are operated by an outside source. The horse doesn't operate the bit, and the ship doesn't operate the rudder. There's always someone else that's controlling it. The tongue, the Bible says, also is a very small part of our body and needs to be controlled by an outside source, which is not you and me, but rather the Spirit of God. I would like to show you, don't lose James 3 because we're going to come back naturally, but I would like to take you to the book of Proverbs. You know, the book of Proverbs is a wonderful book for you and I to be spending time in on a regular basis. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and a lot of months have 31 days in them. Some have 30, of course. But you can use the book of Proverbs by reading a chapter a day along with your regular Bible reading, because the book of Proverbs has so much wisdom in it that will help you in your Christian life. Notice, if you would, Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. Just going to look at a few verses in the book of Proverbs. I'm amazed at how many verses in Proverbs relate to the tongue. There are a lot of them, many more than I can get through today. But notice chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Look at verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And then skip down to verse 23, same chapter. Verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Well, let's go to chapter 17 and verse 20. Proverbs 17, verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Look at chapter 18, verse 20. Chapter 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And then one more for now, chapter 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Here's a profound verse. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. I mean, each one of these verses we could spend time on, and I have so much information from James chapter 3 I want to go through. I can't spend all that time on these verses in Proverbs, but these are just a few of some of the verses in Proverbs that remind us about the importance of our tongue. You see, our tongue helps to determine what direction we take. Remember, it has the power to direct. It helps to choose and determine the direction we take. It also helps to determine what directions others take. You might think, and some people do, that, well, it's my life and it only affects me and it doesn't matter what I say or do, it only affects me. But that's not really true. Because things you and I say and things you and I do, whether we want to admit it or not, does have an impact on other people's lives. It's kind of like throwing a little pebble or a stone into a pond of water and the ripples go out. That's kind of what happens with our words and our actions. The wrong word can direct the listener to the wrong path, whereas the right word can direct the listener to the right path. An idle word, a questionable story, a half-truth, or a deliberate lie could change the course of someone's life and lead them to destruction. On the other hand, of course, the right word used by the Spirit of God can direct a soul out of sin and away from sin and into salvation, or at least off the path of ruin and onto the path of great reward. Just like the bit or bridle in the hands of a good rider will guide the horse in the right direction, and just like a captain of the ship at the helm, you know, steering the ship and using the rudder to pilot it in the right direction, so our tongues need to be controlled by that outside source. We know him as the Spirit of God, and we need to allow him to direct our speech and our words so that our life and the lives of others is directed in the right way, in the right path. Psalm 141, verse 3 says this, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." What a great verse. The mature Christian has grown in their Christian faith to the point where they allow the Holy Spirit to control their tongue. Here's a little secret that I've learned along the way, and hopefully some of the rest of you have learned it. And if you haven't learned it yet, I hope you will very soon. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. I've known of situations in my life where there have been individuals who are very upset with me and were saying all kinds of things toward me and about me and my family and the church that I pastor and all that kind of stuff, and is very hurtful and harmful. I didn't like hearing those things. But the fact that I would not answer back ate on them and ate on them and ate on them until eventually they came and apologized. Sometimes the very best thing to say is nothing. And I think the Spirit of God would a lot of times cause us to do just that. Not respond. Not say anything back. Number one, the tongue has the power to direct. Number two, the tongue also has the power to destroy. This is verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Notice what it says. Even so, this is James 3 again. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Man, that's strong, isn't it? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set, the tongue is set on fire of hell. Strong words. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Look at this. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, the pair of illustrations in the first point was the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder or helm of the ship. The second pair of illustrations here that God gives us is the fire and the unruly evil. That's referring to a deadly animal of some kind. Notice, please, that the fire is mentioned first. In preparation for today, I thought a lot about the fires that just took place in the panhandle of Texas. Over 1 million acres were burned. That area of Texas, of course, is very dry, and there's not a whole lot there except for the fact that there are a lot of ranchers who have cattle that are let loose, you know, within their acreage of land. And I just read this yesterday that there were, I want to say, over 1,000 cattle that were destroyed in that fire. I don't think that'll affect beef prices at all, do you? But think about this. The people that live there, I also saw another article where there was a man and his wife who were way up in years. I think they were both in their 90s. And they were out trying to protect their property when the EMT-type people were coming through that area and the firefighters were coming through that area. They found this couple trying to protect their property. And, of course, they helped them and got them out of the danger and so forth. But people lost homes and people lost a lot of grazing land and people lost cattle and so forth. All that started, just like every fire starts, with one little spark. Every year we hear about the fires in California, don't we? And for that matter, throughout the United States, they last summer, I remember, they had fires in Georgia and other places like that. I mean, throughout the United States, they have fires like that. But the fire that burns thousands and thousands of acres and destroys homes and livelihoods and animals and so forth, most all of them are started by just one tiny little spark. That's the picture that God wants us to get when we think about our tongue having the power to destroy. Because the same thing is true when it relates to our families. The same thing is true when it relates to our churches. The same thing is true when it relates to our nation. You don't think sometimes that your words really matter or are that hurtful, but they are. And they do tons and tons of damage that sometimes you don't even realize. Again, keep something here in James 3. I'm going to take you back to the book of Proverbs again, show you another passage, just one passage this time. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 27. Proverbs 16 and verse number 27. The Bible says here, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Can I suggest to you this morning that things that are in the past probably should be left there? Especially if they've been forgiven by Almighty God. It's amazing how some folks delight in digging up dirt on someone. And many times it's something from the past, but they want to use it in the present to try to hurt that other person. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. There is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife. Do you remember the passage in Proverbs where it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him? Isn't one of them, those seven things, isn't one of them sowing discord among the brethren? A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Now look at this. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Let's go back to James 3. This passage again, like so many others that we've looked at already, our tongue has the ability to do great helpful things or great hurtful things. And like we're talking about back here in James chapter 3 concerning the fire, God warns us in chapter 3, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. Look at this. And it, the tongue, is set on fire of hell. The word hell there is the Greek word Gehenna, which is a word that the Jewish people in Jesus' day, when he walked the earth, they knew Gehenna. And by the way, so did the Old Testament Jewish people. Because Gehenna is relating for them to the valley of Gehenna, which was just outside the dung gate in the wall around Jerusalem, where they would go through the dung gate and dump all their trash and garbage over the hillside, and down at the bottom in the valley was the valley of Gehenna. And the fires there burned constantly, 24 hours a day, and they were all fueled by what? Garbage and refuse. That's the same word that God uses right here in verse number 8. And the tongue is an unruly evil full of... verse 6. And that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's the word Gehenna right there. God wants us to realize that the words that we speak are very important and very powerful. And the words, if used the wrong way, if our tongue, if our mouth, if our speech is used the wrong way, the illustration here is reminding us that it can be used as just like the fires of Gehenna, whose fuel was garbage and refuse, whose fires burned day and night. What an awful picture of the tongue. What an awful picture of the tongue. The other illustration here concerning the tongue being used to destroy, first of all, of course, the fire. Secondly, the unruly evil or deadly animal. You notice here in verse number 7, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The size of a creature does not necessarily indicate its power. A good illustration of that is the black widow spider or the brown recluse spider. Very small, but very deadly. God is saying that about our tongue, though it's very small as compared to our whole body. It's very powerful and very deadly, can be. Every kind of beast and bird and serpent and things in the sea, the Bible says here, has been tamed by mankind, even the most vicious. But the Bible says man can't tame his own tongue. Psalm 140, verse 3, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Romans 3, 13 to 14, their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Man's tongue can be really hurtful and very deadly, do a lot of damage. And God reminds us in verse 8 here, you can't tame your tongue all by yourself, no matter how much you try. Number one, the tongue has the power to direct. Number two, the tongue has the power to destroy. And number three, and I'm glad for this because so far it's not been such good news. but it gets better. Verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. The tongue has the power to delight. Verse 9 says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. We have two pair of illustrations here. One is a fountain, the other is a fruit tree. The fountain is mentioned first, so we'll deal with that first. No fountain can yield both salt water and fresh water. No fountain can yield both sweet water and bitter water. Can you imagine? Now, I realize we don't have a fountain here, but can you imagine going over here to the drinking, I guess we do call it a drinking fountain, but you pull out a little cup and you put it underneath and you push down on the little spigot handle and you get your cup full of water, but you never know from time to time if it's going to be sweet or bitter. How many times would you do that before you'd given up trying to get a drink from there? Probably only take one time. If it happened twice, you know, it happens once, shame on you. It happens twice, shame on me. But you wouldn't do it very long before you stop getting your drink of water out of there. And the Bible's talking about that here concerning you and me with our tongue, with our mouth. Even so, our mouth should not yield both blessing and cursing. Our words should be used as a source of refreshing and blessing. Listen, both to God and also to men. Again, Proverbs 25:13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I've got oodles of verses here. I'm not going to get through them all today, I'm sure. But sometime, if you're writing things down, sometime look up these verses. Proverbs 10, verses 20 and 21, and Proverbs 10, verses 31 and 32. And then Proverbs 15, verse 4, and Proverbs 15, verse 7. So in Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, 10, verse 31 and 32, 15, verse 4, 15, verse 7. Many, many verses in the book of Proverbs that remind us that our tongue should be used to help others, to teach others, to instruct others, to lift them up, to encourage them. Ephesians talks about near the end of chapter 4, I think it is, that no corrupt communication should come out of our mouth, but rather that which is used for edifying. Our words should teach and instruct and encourage and help. That's the fountain, all right? The fruit tree is mentioned next in this two illustration pattern here. Like the fruit tree, your mouth can either yield good fruit or bad fruit. Good fruit naturally helps others, encourages others, strengthens others, benefits others. Bad fruit, of course, just the opposite. Didn't Jesus tell us in Matthew chapter 7 that the tree will be known by its fruit? So how does that tie into everything that we're talking about here? You're going to be known by your words. You're going to be known not just by your actions, you're going to be known by your words. James 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's always been a convicting verse to me. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So, in James chapter 3, I want to go over just real quickly and review what we've learned. In the first illustration, we learned that like the bit in the horse's mouth and the helm or rudder of the ship, our tongue, number one, has the power to direct, to steer, all right, to direct. In the second illustration, we learned that just like the fire or the unruly evil or poisonous animal, our tongue has the power to destroy. So the power to direct and the power to destroy. In the third illustration of the fountain and the fruit tree, we learned that our tongue has the power to delight. You know, to benefit others, to help others, to encourage them, strengthen them, and so forth. With the Lord's help, and only with the Lord's help, you and I, you ready? With the Lord's help and only with the Lord's help, you and I get to choose how we use our tongue. Nobody can say, I couldn't help myself, because you have the Spirit of God living within you. And you and I get to choose how we use our tongue. Because we have the ability inside to do the right thing. We get to choose. Either we give in to our fleshly desires and our anger and our upsetness and all that and say things we're going to regret later, or we allow the Spirit of God to take control and we're either careful what we say or we say nothing. With God's help, and only with God's help, you and I get to choose how we will use our tongue. And the mature Christian normally uses his tongue in the right way. I want to wrap this up this morning by giving you 14 words that I would encourage you to put into your vocabulary. 14 words that I encourage you, and I speak to myself as well, put these words into your vocabulary. Here they are. You ready? Please. You realize how few people say please today? Yeah. Right along with that, thank you. You realize how few people say thank you today? 14 words that you and I should put in our vocabulary. Please, thank you. Here's three more. I am sorry. I am sorry. Can I encourage all the parents to be willing to use that with your children once in a while? We're not perfect as parents. We make mistakes. Sometimes we do things wrong. Sometimes we even say things we shouldn't say. When you recognize that, you need to be adult enough to say, I am sorry. So please, thank you. I am sorry. Here's three more. Ready? I love you. I love you. And then, five left. Ready? I am praying for you. Now, don't say it unless you mean it, but I am praying for you. Fourteen words that should be in every Christian's vocabulary. Please, thank you, I am sorry, I love you, and I am praying for you. The most powerful part of your body is not your biceps or your triceps or your glutes or whatever other muscle group you want to talk about, your six-pack abs. Mine are more like a 12-pack, but that have all burst. The most powerful part of our body is our tongue, and God wants us to use our tongue in a proper manner, not in a hurtful manner. So my encouragement to all of us today is, let's grow up in Christ. Let's allow the Spirit of God to be in control. And even if you're really struggling at this, just say nothing. Just keep those lips together. And don't say what your mind is thinking. One of the biggest problems we have as human beings is saying the first thing that comes to mind. Oh, that's gotten me into so much trouble through the years. I'm believing this to be true. Throughout my years as a Christian, God has worked on me and worked on me. Don't say the first thing that comes to mind. Just be silent. It'll drive your enemies nuts. And you can smile about that, but just keep quiet. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to have just a verse or two of invitation. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God. We have an example, of course, in your example, Jesus, as you were here on this earth. There were several times where people were accusing you of things that were not true, and you were silent, and they criticized you for being silent. But you did not speak back, you did not answer back, you didn't try to defend yourself, you just were silent. And that we could all learn a lesson from that. Along with that, of course, help us to use our tongues to direct people in the right way, not to destroy people ever, but also to be a delight to others. Bless this invitation. Please have your will and way to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.